Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3. Number one.
All right. This was coming from Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. Running back Duke Johnson, who sprained his ankle Thursday night against the Chiefs, is considered to be week-to-week and a long shot to play this week against the Ravens, source said. However, playing in week three is possible. That's an indication that it's not a serious injury. That was earlier today. Also, a bit after that, Bill O'Brien spoke with the media. This is what he had to say in regards to Duke Johnson's injury.
Duke is day to day. Duke's a tough guy. I mean, he'll see how it feels today. And then, you know, you have like an extra day or so, you know what I mean, because of the Thursday game. So that's a good thing. So we'll see how he's doing as the week progresses. And we feel good about the depth we have. We have some other guys there that could step up if Duke couldn't go.
Now, I know you, Clint. I know you feel great about the depth that they have at running back if Duke Johnson is unable to go as the backup running back. I know we saw David Johnson, who looked really, really good on Thursday. But if Duke Johnson's not able to go, there is a bit of an issue there. You have your lead back, but Duke Johnson's important to things that they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, Duke, even whether you're a guy that thinks Duke should split the carries with David Johnson or you think he's a good backup that's a third down package back as I do, either way it goes, he's an important part of this offense and an impactful part of this offense. And the Texans are now staring down the pipe of you got David Johnson and you're one play away from getting a full dose of Buddy Howe and Scottie Phillips at the running back position. And unless they activate, what's my man?
Ron Higdon.
No, the one that came from played in Seattle is on the practice squad. Procise, there you go. CJ Procise, I believe is his name.
Yeah,
unless they activate him and give him some carries early, I don't know how quickly he would need what kind of time he would need to get up to speed with this offense. I don't know if he's there or not, so I don't even know if he's an option at this point in time. But yeah, man, not a good look for the Texans when you're staring down the pipe of Buddy Howe getting carries for this football team. You got to believe that the 10-day gap between Thursday's game and Sunday's game is going to be helpful in terms of Duke Johnson getting able to get back on the field.
Because in the report from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, he said it's a long shot for him to play. Bill O'Brien didn't say that in when he spoke to the media earlier today. But for what it is that Duke Johnson excels in, how big to you is the ankle injury? Like, I wonder, is it a high ankle injury or what? For what he does, like him being slowed up with an ankle injury, which you use him a lot in a passing game, I think it's different maybe than other backs.
Yeah, regardless of what the severity of the ankle injury is, which you got to believe it's pretty severe if they're doubting that he'll play 10 days after opening week. I mean, you got to believe that it's pretty severe. Shota, you're talking about a scat back. I mean, you're talking about a guy that plays the game outside the tackles predominantly, plays the game inside, in the pass game. Predominantly, he needs to be able to stick his foot in the ground and change direction at an elite level, and that's how he's become one of the better third down backs in this game, and it's going to be hard to do on a bum ankle. There's no doubt about it.
I think one thing to me, Clint, is something that the Texans really need to think about is, look, you had a game plan. I don't know what the game plan is, but there has to have been a game plan in terms of touches and carries and how often you want David Johnson to play, especially early in the season with his injury history. You got to find a way not to allow this potential injury to worse or to make you feel like, oh, I've got to play more with David Johnson. Yeah. To me, I think it's a mistake if you go in there and David Johnson gets 30-something carries, 35 touches, and he's in there for every third down and blitz pickup and all of that. Like, whatever your plan was in amount of touches and snaps that David Johnson was going to get, because the Texans aren't stupid. They know his injury history. There has to be a game plan with him. I hope if Duke Johnson isn't able to go, this doesn't put them in a place where they feel like they got to change that and they add more to his plate and potentially get him injured.
Yeah, so I don't, man, I'm in a spot with the Texans where I'm tired of all the protecting, you know, from injury talk. I know what you mean by you don't want to just go in and versus Baltimore is a great defense and just run him into a brick wall as many times as you can, but you got to play this out, man. I mean, this is a game where you got embarrassed last year, much like you did last time you played Kansas City. You've got to go out there and put a good product on the field, and if that means that you run Deshaun Watson a little bit in the first half to establish the run and to force Baltimore's defense to account for every offensive player, then you got to do it. If it means that Will Fuller in critical moments has to return a punt or return a kickoff, then you got to do it. I mean, it's this protecting – Texans just ain't in a position where they can go out there and protect players to that degree. I understand, like, you know, obviously –
Yeah, I just can't – he can't – 30 touches, like, or 30 carries. He can't have 30 carries.
I mean, it depends on how the game's going. But, yeah, it would be going into the game if you think David Johnson running him between the tackles 30 times is gonna give you a chance to beat Baltimore. Probably, you're probably dead wrong. But I get it. You can't abuse the guy. But this is one of those games where you got to pull out all the stops. You got to let
like
it all hang out.
This is must-win territory almost? I don't know if it's as close as it can be.
I don't know if it's a must-win. These early games, look, if the Texans lose these two games and find a way to get in the playoffs and then make noise in the playoffs, we'll never talk about Baltimore, KC, Week 1 and Week 2 ever again. And it's just one of those deals where I think it is a legitimate check of where is this organization. And back-to-back blowouts by the two top teams in the AFC would not be a good look.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, it's continued to be a tough week here in Houston for Houston sports as Saturday night the Lakers finished off the Rockets. They win the series 4-1. It wasn't competitive the entirety of the series. The gentleman's sweep. And then shortly after that Sunday, Mike D'Antoni informed the Rockets that he would not be returning next season. Hell, after game one, we started hearing rumors that Daryl Morey was thinking about a new contract for Mike D'Antoni. It appeared that was not in the plans for him. Mike D'Antoni leaves out, and I think it's probably telling that he is the one that got out in front of it first.
Yeah, that's the interesting aspect of this, is that before the Rockets could even address the public about what their future plans were for D'Antoni, he went ahead and said, hey, I'm going to explore free agency, ladies and gentlemen, and just nipped it in the bud. So, you know, I don't know what that means. What do you think it means for a coach that likes to play a style of ball that you think that this team is built to play right now, and they've got two future Hall of Famers, he decides he wants to test free agency?
He said, I'm good, baby. Well, first off, it was interesting. Adam Spillane, our Sports Radio 610.com basketball insider, one of the things he said was, for the first time in the press conference, he said Mike D'Antoni referred to the Rockets as the Rockets and not us or we. For the first time ever. When I heard that, I was like, we might see some of that. But I think it is a big thing because I think he felt disrespected now that you look back at it and they just made him a lame duck coach. And this is a guy who has been to the Western Conference Finals, and the only teams that have really gotten you here have been the Warriors when you've been really, really good, and they've been good, nobody could have run this system with this group the way he did, and they just left him as a lame duck coach and wouldn't give him the years, and he probably felt like he deserved better than that. And I think that was a big part of why Mike D'Antoni said, you know what, I'm cool.
So you don't think it had to do anything with Harden, anything with Westbrook?
Well, it may have, but I think the disrespect of that even more. I think that was, man, you not. I don't get a gig. I can't get another year. I'm just a lame duck coach.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not somebody who ain't been getting us to the playoffs and winning. Like, I've lost to Kevin Durant and a dynasty. Like that's who I've been losing to. And I can't get another year, so I think he felt major disrespect. Clint, some of the names that have been thrown out in replacement, as always, Jeff Van Gundy is somebody who is in the Rockets mix. Former Houston coach, and now he does television and calls the games for the finals for ABC and ESPN. Others, Kelvin Sampson, the head coach for the Houston Cougars. And then Ty Lue, the former champion NBA coach with the Cavs. He's an assistant, I believe, with the Clippers. Becky Hammon, she would be the first NBA head coach. She's with the Spurs. Sam Cassell. Now, Sam Cassell has been the big rumor coming out. I like him, and I like a guy like Ty Lue and Jeff Van Gundy, because I'm pretty sure those guys would challenge James Harden, and I think that's been a big thing that James Harden hasn't faced. A coach that will challenge him on both ends of the floor. I do like that from Sam Cassell's standpoint.
I like Sam Cassell just because he's a former Rocket, and he got roots down here in the H, baby. I don't know what any of these coaches, people. I don't know what they bring to the table, truth be told. I mean, it's one of those where, I mean, there ain't no LeBron down here, so what's Ty Lue going to do?
There's not LeBron, but he can handle big personalities. And as with when you have LeBron on your team, most coaches don't get the respect that they deserve. We're seeing Eric Spoelstra now without LeBron with the Miami Heat.
Yep.
We're seeing that guy's a big-time coach. The only thing is, what the Rockets have done is they've put together a roster that I don't think very many coaches would like to have. Like a roster where P.J. Tucker's your 6'5 center. Like, they've blown this up, and we know Sam Cassell. You said he knows he's got roots here. Well, Sam Cassell played with a top five center all time, in my opinion, in Hakeem Olajuwon. So I don't think Sam Cassell's a believer of having P.J. Tucker as a center. And now he's with the Clippers, and they have bigs and use their bigs. So there's a thing where if I'm Sam Cassell or Van Gundy, who had Patrick Ewing as his center with the Knicks, like, I ain't got no center here?
Yeah.
That's and now with their contracts.
Well, you got to expect, though, right? I mean, with whoever gets hired, that they're going to blow this thing up and I mean, bring in new guys. I mean, there's no way that you, like you said, there's no way you can ask guys, if you're going to keep playing the same ball, you can't let D'Antoni get out of here.
No, I know. With the contracts they have, the money they got in Westbrook, the money they got in Harden, and that big money they got in Eric Gordon, it's kind of tough to think how you can finagle this roster into putting pieces together that coaches might want to have. That's the issue right there.
All right. Big 3-3, number 3.
And Dusty Baker had some news with the Astros, who haven't looked great either. But Dusty Baker had some news with Justin Verlander. Here is the latest from the skipper, the manager of the Astros, on the ace pitcher, Justin Verlander.
If things go well, I mean, there's no better starter around than him. I mean, it's like making a major trade again, you know, getting him back. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we're knocking on wood and keeping our fingers crossed that everything goes well and no setbacks, because we really don't have the time for it.
That's from Dusty Baker's. And this is from Adam Spolane, our SportsRadio610.com baseball insider as well. Since Justin Verlander threw yesterday, he could likely throw again Thursday. And it sounds like if that goes well, Clint, you could see him start September 22nd in Seattle. Dusty also talked about he will come back as a starter in the rotation if he's able to go. That could be huge for the Astros.
Yeah, that's interesting that he would bring him back that early, right? I mean, all the stuff that we've talked about is guys, pitchers with this injury coming back when in critical moments, and you would think those critical moments would be the playoffs, unless you know, Verlander coming back and just helping the Astros get to the playoffs is that big of a deal.
Because they're only a game and a half over the Mariners right now.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I think maybe Verlander is somebody like that. I'd like to get something going before I would want my first start to just be a postseason game. Maybe I'd like to get out there and see exactly what I can do in a real game scenario. But listen, the Astros have been struggling. this, they need a lift. They need a spark in a big way. And if their ace, their guy can come in and give you, that's a big time spark to this team. This team is now 4-15 against teams against winning with winning records. You bring this guy back, your ace Verlander, it could raise how everybody is feeling with this team. So Verlander coming back could not just help the rotation, but help the overall morale of the team.
There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about if Justin Verlander toes the rubber, that everybody, nobody else that's been banged up has any excuse not to get right and get back on the field. And there's no doubt that if Justin Verlander's on the mound, that the Astros obviously have a better chance of winning games if he's in the rotation. So yeah, I would think that the team morale and everything like that would go through the roof.
I think that's a good point, because what you just brought up prior to that, I wonder how many fans and somebody like you would be ticked off if he went out there and pitched September 22nd against the Mariners and blew his arm out and didn't get to the postseason.
Right.
Like how fired up would you be? Like, damn, Dusty.
Hey, and with Dusty's luck this year, boy, I ain't gonna say it because I hate to even think about something like that happening to a guy like Justin Verlander. But with Dusty's luck, boy, I tell you what, stranger things have happened.
Yeah. Baker bomb. That would be a Baker bomb. All right, that's the big three at three. Clint, if you thought the view of the Texans right now couldn't get any worse, then I'm telling you, you're dead wrong. You're dead wrong. It is getting worse. Wait till you hear who the Texans are being compared to. We'll get into that coming up next.
On Sports Radio 610, here's Clint Sterner and the show.
Yeah, that's my old girlfriend. Saw her when she walked in.
So are you gonna take me to hear this live?
Cody Johnson. Yep. Look, I was talking about this the other day. If the one thing I miss... Go. The thing I miss most about COVID-19 is live Texas country music concerts.
I'll be there. I'll go with you.
Yeah. I mean, see how he just invited himself?
Well, you want me to be there.
Yeah, no, I do.
I'd love to enjoy my company, damn it.
I wouldn't get too carried away.
I'm not getting carried away. Everyone in here knows you enjoy my company.
Hell, I hope I do. I'm in the studio with you every day for 4 hours. I ain't got no damn choice. You've been forced on me. But yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah, I'd love to take you to see some live country music. I miss it, man. I mean, it hurts my heart. I miss it so much.
Can I tell you?
What?
You may not believe this, and many people out here listening may not. I lived in Nashville for 5 years. Okay. Beautiful time in my life. Beautiful time. I lived in Nashville 5 years, never saw any country music live.
Seriously?
Never did.
What the hell did you do? What did you do with your time? You never strolled down Broadway, like, and went in Tootsie's? Maybe the stage? Nothing?
No, I've gone in. I've hung out, but there was no live country music happening. And I've gone to bars where they've been playing it, but I never saw anyone.
You never saw a band on the stand playing?
Not country.
On the stage playing? No, really.
Not country. I probably 5 years. I know that's many hard people
to
do. Think that's
hard. It's hard to live in Nashville. And I'm assuming, well, how old were you at the time?
I was in college, maybe.
Right. You live in Nashville for 5 years and never just got busted up and walked in a bar even by accident.
No, not even by accident. Not even had somebody I was trying to smash and go in. Of course, because you know that, man, you'll do something that you don't want to do. But that never even happened.
You wasn't trying hard enough. Are we still talking about country music or chasing something that you?
Country music. Oh. I'm just saying I never did. I didn't go to a lot of establishments. I heard a ton of hard rock and cover bands, but not country music.
I tell you what, it's hard for me to believe. I was a single man in Nashville. I mean, I think less of you. Being a single man in Nashville, you were a single man in Nashville, and for some reason you didn't stumble into one of those joints?
I didn't, man.
Good gosh, you missed out on that deal.
Stampedes on a Wednesday night was huge for us, Bluesboro as well, but never any live country music. Never did it, man. So this will be my first time.
Hey, yeah. I'll be that guy, babe.
That'd be my first time. I'm sorry. I apologize. I need to... As someone here on the text line, this is fantastic, 713-572-4610. They said, I'm not sure, Joe, if that was the greatest or worst tease I've ever heard. I don't know if I want to make sure I stay to listen to the comparison or just turn off my radio entirely. Making you think out here, baby.
Please, yeah, he can make you think. Just don't turn the radio off, please.
Making you think. I hope you're getting here for it. No, seriously, if you thought it couldn't look any worse for the Texans, the new lines came out for this game against the Ravens. And they're at home, Clint, and they are seven-point dogs.
Seven-point dogs versus the Baltimore Ravens. That would be – and that they're home dogs. So that would be the equivalent to, I believe, the last time I looked at the Jacksonville-Indianapolis line last week, it was a 7-point. Jacksonville ended up being a home dog at 8 points. I think it was an 8-point dog. Yeah, that's the company you're keeping.
Well, yeah.
The opponent's a little better, though. You got Baltimore coming to town.
The Washington football teams, they were a 6-point dog.
At home.
At home to the Eagles.
Okay.
Washington. People think they might. People thought that they may be the number one pick, or right there with Jacksonville. And people think less of you. 7-point dog. I know the Ravens are good, but you're supposed to be thought of as a good football team, as well. 7-point dog. This is where you are. Like that. As to say the words of Bill O'Brien. They need to change some things in a hurry.
In a hurry. And there's no doubt about it. The Giants are a 6-point home dog tonight. The Giants are a 6-point home dog tonight.
That's where the Texans
they got the Steelers, don't they?
Yeah.
Isn't that who the Giants play tonight?
Yeah.
The Steelers didn't make the playoffs last year. I mean, the Redskins were 6-point dogs at home to Philly, who made the playoffs, I believe, was 8-8 or 9-7. They had to win late versus the Cowboys to get in. I mean, that's Indy didn't make the playoffs last year, and Jacksonville was an eight-point dog, home dog. Yeah, I mean, the Texans getting 7 points at NRG this weekend versus Baltimore is that's a tough one to swallow. I understand that Baltimore's a great football team, and I do understand that the damn near double-digit dog that the Texans were last year on the road last week on the road in Arrowhead versus KC, that's a little bit. That's understandable. They're the Super Bowl champs. They're at home. They signed every impact player they had. They signed him to an extension and brought him back. But, boy, being a touchdown dog at home is not a good look.
And you get 3 points for being at home.
So it's really a 10-point.
So it's really you're a double-digit underdog at home.
Right.
That just has to change from the text line. We have Bill O'Brien. They have Harbaugh. Okay, but I mean, I'm just saying, if you are a player for the Texans, how many more embarrassing things do you need to have happen to you to make you feel different?
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, here's the deal. The Ravens have to be looking at this game film from last week and just salivating at the opportunity. I mean, look, we've already heard once today in the show, Bill O'Brien, he had his Monday morning press conference and he talked about what they needed to work on defensively. And it was about gap discipline, be where you're supposed to be, and the fact that the Texans missed 20 tackles in 67 plays ran by Kansas City. 67 plays ran by Kansas City, the Texans missed 20 tackles. And so Baltimore has to be looking at this game film as a 7-point favorite on the road. And they have to be absolutely salivating at what week two consists of.
Yeah, and here is the thing, and I want to be honest. They are a 7-point dog. Many people are, I went on in Kansas City last week, and someone said to me, you know, hey, I know the Texans have been a pretty good football team here in the past, but this year it seems different. Are they a bad football team? I can't tell if the Chiefs are really good or are the Texans just really bad this year. Like, this is what people are viewing you as. And I'll be honest with you. It's fair. It's fair for what you put out, what you displayed, how you came out to play, the changes that have been made that many people don't have an understanding. I believe Brandon Cooks is a good football player. I believe Randall Cobb's a good football player. I believe David Johnson's a good football player. I believe the offensive line is a good football player. We haven't seen them play together, but what you put out, you deserve this. You deserve to basically be a 10-point underdog to the Ravens. You deserve it. And, I mean, that's the part that is hardest to deal with is, I mean, I don't think you're getting slighted.
Yeah. No, I don't think you're getting slighted either. Based off of what we all saw week one, there's no doubt about it that this makes perfect sense. You saw Baltimore absolutely destroy the Cleveland Browns, and you saw the Texans come out against the Chiefs and just play very uninspired football, in which they lost by two touchdowns. And I don't think that score is very indicative of the game at all. And so, yeah, I mean, the Texans have earned being a 7-point dog at home. No doubt about it. I mean, the deal is Bill O'Brien's got to get this thing turned and got to get it turned in a hurry. We can talk about Deshaun Watson and him taking the bull by the horns and J.J. Watt taking the bull by the horns and the players righting the ship when things go wrong. But when it's all said and done, Bill O'Brien's got to get this football team ready to play. And he's got to get them ready to play in a hurry because he lacked physicality versus a team that's not, generally speaking, is not very physical in terms, if you look across the NFL landscape, they're not known as one of the more physical teams in the game.
You're right.
And you lacked physicality to the point where they dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Well, you got a team coming in this week that, no doubt about it, prides himself on being one of the most physical teams in the game on both sides of the football. And it's going to be a long day if Bill O'Brien doesn't get right the ship.
But I can tell you this, Clint. I look at that team, and they just got too – and I'm talking about the Texans. They got too many good football players. I don't think they're being slighted, but, Clint, I don't think they're this bad. I don't think – in my heart, when I look at the team and when I look at what they have, I don't believe that they're 10 points worse than the Ravens or 7 points worse at home. The Ravens. I didn't think they were that bad and that different, and it's that big of a gap between them and Kansas City. Now, they showed it, and I can't say nothing, right? I can't say nothing. But I look at what they have. I think they're better than this. I think they will be competitive on Sunday. I think they're a better football team than what they've shown, and they shouldn't be, I don't think, home dogs in the fashion that Washington is or in the fashion that Jacksonville is. I think they are better than this. And I hope they show it Sunday, but what they have shown is fair.
Well, there's plenty of room. There's opportunity to improve and improve really fast with the Houston Texans. I would expect Deshaun Watson and these receivers to make plays. Period. I would expect Will Fuller.
Right, they're too good for that, man.
I would expect Will Fuller to make plays. Yeah, to catch some 50-50 balls. He's not DeAndre Hopkins, but I would expect him, when they work out in his favor, when he gets pressed from a cut split and he runs an outside release fade and Deshaun throws a back shoulder ball where the DB has no idea where the ball is, I would expect Fuller to make that type of play. I would expect Cooks to continue to get better and better with this offense the more that he can practice with that quad issue that he had. And I would expect Randall Cobb to be more of an impact player throughout the game. And I really liked the early drive from the Texans when they got – I mean, we saw empty. We saw tempo. We saw a wide receiver screen. We saw a running back screen. We saw a couple of really good runs. One of them I know was an RPO type of run, which was a touchdown run. I mean, there are flashes of some really good stuff that Bill O'Brien didn't do in the past that I think Tim Kelly really brought to the table. But once they got off of that script, once they got off of that script the first two drives, it's like things went to hell in a handbasket real quick. And so there are definitely some good things, and I think there are a lot of things that will improve drastically for the Texans week one to week two. The problem is with this schedule, is there room for enough improvement to allow them to stay on the field with the Baltimore Ravens at this point in time? I don't know if that's out there right now.
Yeah, they just got to pick it up and be better than this. Because I just think they are. I really do. All right, there's a player in the NFL, Clint, that's taking money out of my kids' pockets. Just straight up. He's taking money out of my children's pockets. I got three young kids under six. They're taking money out of my kids' pockets. We'll explain coming up next.
Hey, how you guys doing? Listen to you every day. Love you guys.
It's a Reaction Monday, presented by Coors Light on Sports Radio 610 with Clint Sterner and the show.
That's right, baby. Reaction Monday, presented by Coors Light. Them silver bullets, baby.
Come on.
Let's do it, man.
Knocked a few back this weekend.
I know you did. I know you did, and you feel better for it.
I do.
I can see it in your eyes.
I do.
I can see it in your eyes. Lamar Jackson has caused me to have to save money, to put money away for this bet with Wade Smith, who won't let me forget the end of it. I stupidly made a bet with Wade Smith that it got away from me, that that the Texans would have a better record at the end of the season with the Ravens. Now, it's not over. It's just one game, but... My theory and thinking was the Ravens would take a step back. Their division is tougher, and I still think it's tougher. Steelers got their quarterback back. I thought the Browns didn't have Freddie Kitchens anymore, but it seems like it doesn't matter. So I thought they may step out with the division, and I thought now you got this much tape on Lamar Jackson, and I think there will be some adjustments, and I think now it'll be Lamar's turn to adjust. Clint, Lamar's ready to go. Lamar looks like he's throwing the football better than he has ever before, 20 of 25. I mean, he hit Hollywood Brown on a deep route that was just like, Jesus. This dude, and I'm going to lose that bet. I can feel it right now, and I'm going to have to buy this.
It took this weekend for you to realize that was a stupid bet?
Listen, I'm still holding out hope just because I'm being smart, and I'm just putting money away to go ahead and be able to pay for this thing. I'm not one with these three kids, where I could just go ahead and lump sum this puppy. I got to put this away and prepare for this. But, man.
Damn, white hen's that expensive?
I think for me.
Oh.
Maybe not for you. Not
I don't know. I don't know what we're talking about. I didn't even know there was such a thing until I heard Wade talk about it.
But, man, I think there is tape on him, but I think I underestimated how much of a worker Lamar Jackson is. If you think about the jump that he took from year one to year two, where people were comparing him to Tebow in terms of how he throw the football, he wasn't a consistent thrower. Year two, he leads the league in touchdown passes, and he's one of the top has one of the top passer ratings for quarterbacks in the league. You probably thought that he would go into the lab and work even harder from year two to year three. And I know it's early and it's one game, but him throwing the football looked improved from year two. And that kid's got big time work ethic. That kid wants it, wants to be great, and puts in work. And now this is year three, and that's probably something that I misguided.
Yeah, I mean, you that was a misguided bet from the get go. But I don't put a whole hell of a lot of stock into Lamar Jackson being great against the Cleveland Browns.
It is the Browns, I will say.
Ultimately, I don't know what the Browns are going to end up being either. But ultimately, when you look at Lamar Jackson, I mean, it's his game is predicated off of just putting fear in folks from the ability to run the football, and anybody that they're able to run the football against, they're going to absolutely shred them. With him throwing the ball, so you know, I don't know. He was the MVP last year. I've seen enough to go, man, he went out there and got a lot better. I do think that he's going to struggle more times throughout this season than he has in the past. I think all quarterbacks, they struggle once teams figure out what their weaknesses are. Deshaun Watson, you can look at what Kansas City did and said, we're just not going to give the big play. We're going to keep him in the pocket. And we're going to let our guys eat, and we're going to believe that he's not going to get those progressions quick and check the football down. And when we do blitz, we're going to have 3 or 4 seconds to get to him, and we're going to get home more times than we're not. And so we're going to put him in that situation as often as we possibly can. And it was clear that they were going to take the big play away from Deshaun Watson, who throws the big ball as well as anybody in the game, and Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks, who go get the football as well as anybody in the game. They were not going to let that be how they lost the game. And the Kansas City Chiefs did a good job of taking that away. Lamar Jackson's going to run up against defenses this year that can take away their ability to run the football, whether that's keeping him in the pocket or stopping their run, however they go about it. And he's going to have to consistently against great – when you talk about the handful. Let's say they play five games this year versus playoff opponents. I don't know what that number is. Say it's five. Lamar Jackson has catapulted himself into those are the five we – those are the five teams that we judge him against. That to me, that's how I – like I analyze him against those five teams. Like what – has he taken the next step or not? And when he plays those caliber teams is when we'll be able to tell.
For me, I just – the way he was throwing the football. The way he was, it just looked improved. And I know it was against the Browns, and they can give good pressure with Myles Garrett and those boys. But they're just the improvement throwing it on the outside.
Yep.
Just looked better because he just seemed like him last year, deep ball or in the middle of the field to his tight ends, and just throwing it on the outside, it appeared better. Now,
when he gets a good pre-snap look,
okay, and when he knows where he's going with it.
Yeah, to me, it's when he gets a good pre-snap look. And they've, because of their scheme, they've forced defenses into being very vanilla because you can't stop them otherwise. Then he's going to light you up. I mean, if he knows where he's going with the football, he's going to light you up. I mean, it's a deal where you've got to make him process post-snap. And while he's thinking about what the coverage is and trying to process what the coverage is, then are his feet in the right spot or are they not, right? Are his eyes in the right position? Is his shoulders in the right position? Or are they not? And then the bad thing is even when you do that, sometimes he puts his foot in the ground and takes off, and you can't catch him then either. So there's some definite facets to his game that are just damn near unstoppable. There's no doubt about it.
Clint Sterner in the show right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Lamar Jackson is taking money out of my kids' pockets. It appeared yesterday that he's taken a step in stride and improved, and I've underestimated how much he works at his craft in the offseason. You can see the jump from year one to year two, now from two to three. Now, for the sake of my bet, next Sunday, you said he's going to run up against some teams that aren't going to allow them or take away some of the things that they do well. Are the Texans in any way going to be able to do that on Sunday?
Based off what we saw Thursday, no. I mean, I would fully expect them to be downhill early and often, and force the Texans to drop a safety into the box, single up their receivers outside, even if they do have two safeties on the roof, they'll be playing quarters where they'll come down because they have to run support. They'll come down, be 8 or 10 yards off the ball. Hollywood Brown gets behind somebody. It's game over.
Is that what you? But isn't that what you would want from the Ravens? Would you rather take your chances that Lamar Jackson's got to beat you on over the top stuff?
Well, you would rather be able to stop their run for the most part with your front seven and be able to play different shell coverages behind it. Whether you decide to play man or not because you like the matchups, that's great. I don't know if they feel that way or not. But you would like to have the freedom to go, okay, our halftime adjustment, you know, let's say we played a lot of man early in the first half to get an extra guy in the box to spy Lamar Jackson. All right, you got to think that they're going to adjust at halftime. So the adjustment for the Texans, you would like to be able to go in and go, okay, well, we're handling the run pretty good with our down four and one or two linebackers matching up depending on what personnel they're in. Let's hit them with some cover three, or let's hit them with some quarters, or let's hit them with some – right nowadays in the league, these teams are playing these hybrid coverages. I don't know how they're getting away with it, but like zone to one side and man to the other. And it really causes quarterbacks to have to think and work and process post-snap. You'd like to have the ability to do all of that, but the fact of the matter is, if they're boat racing you in the run game, you can't have two safeties on the roof.
Yeah,
you got to bring the extra defender in the game, and when you do that, I mean, you got to bring the extra defender into the box to stop the run, and when you do that, you're exposed outside.
Well, I feel like they're gonna have to do that anyway because they're not stopping. We watched that last week. They're not stopping them with seven in the box. They're going to have to bring somebody else down because the hell with the Chiefs, you could partly not include Patrick Mahomes in the, like, all right, he might run the ball.
Yeah,
like
you didn't have to spy Pat Mahomes. You didn't have to account for him in a run game.
That's out the window Sunday. I mean, their best runner might be Lamar.
Right.
So they got to bring somebody down. My thought would be, if you're Anthony Weaver, for them, that I mean, that's when they're going to be their most special, is when they're running the football and Lamar is running the football. That's when, if you got to pick your poison, to me, like Hollywood Brown is the guy that I would fear that can beat you over the top in a major way. And I think Bradley Roby can hang with him for the most part. Like, I'd rather put them in a position that they got to do that. Now, your front seven, even with another guy in the box, if that's Justin Reed or Lonnie Johnson or Eric Murray, they got to play better than what they did on Thursday. But that would be what I would take my chances with.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're gonna have to play big boy football this week. You're gonna have to add a safety to the box. You're gonna have to keep a linebacker in the game a lot of the times when you typically pull them out and go some kind of nickel. Nickel coverage or you know, something with more DBs in the game. You're obviously going to have to play big boy football. The key is going to be one of those where this is truly a game where you go, okay, if you can stop them on their first down run, then your chances go through the roof, because now you got them in second and 10, second and 9. They got to go make a play or they're behind the chains, and then you got Lamar Jackson trying to throw into coverage on third and 6, third and 7. You know, you got to get them in those third and medium situations. You can't consistently let them be in second and 4, second and 2, because then they're in front of the chains and you're in trouble, because they can just keep doing what they're doing, run downhill. So either way that they do it, I mean, either way they do it, they're going to have to add safeties to the box from time to time. It's when they do they hit home and do they get it?
They got to make, yeah. That's, they're going to be vulnerable somewhere.
Yeah,
but I would much rather say, hey, man, I'm going to tip my cap. Lamar, you made 4 deep passes that you connected on that set up for scores, rather than I want to keep a safety back because of the downfield throw while I just let Lamar and Ingram and J.K. Dobbins just kill me with
the
run.
The other side of that, too, is the offense, which this is another game, by the way, that – you know, there's going to be a lot of folks out there that think, oh, well, you got to run the ball. Best defense for Lamar Jackson is keep him on the sideline. You know, that sounds great. That really does sound great.
I want to make Lamar throw. Well, I want to make him throw when I know he's going to throw.
What I want to do is I want to get a lead on the Baltimore Ravens, and I want to keep my foot on their throat by scoring points.
Yep.
And
make him have to throw.
Get him in a position where at least –
what the Titans did.
Right. Well, at least you want to get him into a position where he's playing from behind and the pressure's applied to them to score in a hurry late or to do something other than run the football. And now you've got them out of their comfort zone. So to me the focus isn't keeping him on the sideline. I mean, to me the focus is if the offense does work the way that they should do work and they score points, you take advantage of a turnover. You take advantage of a missed third down. I remember last year, I think he missed a wide open receiver on the first third down. And you're like, all right, now Texas got to take advantage of that. You know, they didn't take advantage of it.
Well, they didn't take advantage of anything.
Right,
in the game,
right. But those are the kind of things. Championship caliber teams, which Baltimore is, they are going to take full advantage of your mistakes. You better be ready to take advantage of their mistakes. And if they make their mistakes first, then you get a lead. Now you've got a real chance versus Baltimore. If they take advantage of your mistakes first and they get a lead on you, they're going to smother you. They're going to smother you on defense, and they're going to run the football on offense. And it's going to be tough. They're going to limit the opportunities you have to come back. And so you've got to be aggressive offensively. You're not going to beat anybody in this league with Will Fuller dropping 20-yard – you know, throws on the first
next
drive.
Throws right on.
You're not going to beat the championship caliber team dropping those kind of balls. You got to hit home in the first drive when you get the opportunity.
All right. Clint Sterner and the show right here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. He called. This PJ fella who called in earlier today on In the Loop said, you're the black skip. He said, me, Ron, the show Hughley, is the black Skip Bayless. PJ, explain yourself, please.
What's up, Clint and Skip? How y'all doing, man?
Well,
hey, man, I came up with that on the fly, man, really. But I was laughing myself because it was funny to me. But look, man, I just can't go with you saying that Deshaun Watson got a pass, man. Bill O'Brien got the pass. He got promoted, man, based on Deshaun Watson's heroics in the playoffs, man. You got to recognize that, baby.
I appreciate your call, PJ. I am not the black Skip Bayless. I am the black Ron the show, which means I am Ron the show because I already am black.
I think in all fairness, I mean, to really dial in on what it was you were talking about.
Bill O'Brien got a pass.
No. Well, I mean, there's. What? Look, here's the deal. Is you were referring to at that stage in Deshaun Watson's career, he wasn't held account or he wasn't responsible for how the team responded to adversity and how the team was inconsistent. And I think the conversation was in the past, you didn't think he was necessarily responsible for that. But now that he's gotten paid, there is no more, well, you ain't responsible for it. Now with that paycheck being the fourth year in the league, it's no more passes.
That's what I said. This is his fourth year of the league. Yeah. He has the second biggest contract in the history of the sport, which is going to mean he is going to prevent you, because of his contract, of being able to plug holes with better pieces than you would normally do. Everyone could, and yes, Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby have made decisions that have hurt that too. But when you have the second biggest contract in the history of the sport, that also brings it down. What I'm saying is, quarterbacks that haven't won championships, and in his case, that haven't won MVPs, that make the money, are the ones that you look at when they start making money and say the expectations have gone up. And you can't just have somebody go 51-7 on you and you be good, or have someone in a two-game, 82-14
yeah,
was the stretch it yep. was.
Yep.
For the,
yep.
And, yep. And you and all the blame goes to the coaches. It comes to you, especially when your leader and your team comes out.
Every
like that.
Quarterback that's the caliber of Deshaun yes. Watson, you reach a point in your career where you've got to overcome coaching. And so as you analyze players, you have to at some point say he's not a young player anymore. This should be his team. He should take the bull by the horns. And I think that was more or less what you meant, was that it was time for him to step up and overcome these issues, and people shouldn't consistently push back to that was on Bill O'Brien. At some point, the players have to stand up and take the bull by the horns.
Deshaun's my favorite player in the league. It has been since he entered the league. And as I said that day, I'm not going to disrespect the greatness of Deshaun Watson and not hold him up to the caliber of the great player that he is. That's all it was. But I am not no damn black Skip Bayless. Miss me with that.
Hold on, so.
I will not, Larry. All right, it's time for you to get your football fix. Clint Sterner's Football at 4 coming up next.
Clint, you can put your toes up in the river, my man, and pop that Coors Light.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!